Welcome again. This is the InfoSystem Forums, and we like to start again once a month and try to provide you some information with the purpose to kind of wake you or remind ourselves in the privileges that we have in the United States or here in Madison, Wisconsin. The topic for today is education, politics, voting, and I like to take the time to compare to my summer experience when I visit Mexico. I was in Mexico during the time that was very important because it was an election year. It was a presidential election year. It was the second time that that was predicted that the opposition party was going to win. But at the same time, it was the PRI has lost power, and they had the PRD, which is the another party that wanted to take over the PAN. But the mixture of what took place in Mexico, the fear, the anxiety was, are we going to have a revolution? At that particular time, I started thinking about us here in the United States. When elections come, we don't have that fear. We don't fear if there's going to be a revolution. In Mexico, what was happening, people did not know who was going to win, although there was already some predictions that the PRD was going to overcome the PAN. But then on the other hand, the PAN was saying it was going to overcome the PRD, and the PRI was completely out of the equation. Well, the day of the elections comes up, and it was very close election. So close that the PRD, who was Obregón, he challenged Calderón by taking action to the results of the election. Again, the fear goes still again, is that is there going to be a revolution? What's going to happen? Are we going to have two governments? What is going to be with Mexico? As an outsider in Mexico, I look at this as a transformation time, a time that Mexico is going to become a democratic state. And it needed to go through these stages, illustrating the world that it could resolve its problem without a revolution. If we were to go back in 1968, probably there would have been a revolution. It was the revolution in Tlatelolco in 1968. Prior to 1968, there could have been a revolution because there was a completely a drive that anybody that was against the PRI would probably could be killed, would never hear about them anymore. But today, as the politics unfolds in Mexico, as the economics unfolds in Mexico, is trying to create a mechanism that is suitable to the people, and there is an opportunity for people to vote. What that does is that Mexico is still behind, not only in becoming a democratic state, but also building up an infrastructure on education. And that's what hit me also here. Because one thing that I learned is that if we are going to vote, we need to be literate. And that's very important, because when we exercise a vote, it is our opinion, it is our knowledge, it is a power to how we interpret the world. And that counts a lot. So as I travel back to the United States, bringing these ideas and seeing what's happening here in the United States, I began to see that a nucleus of education, the nucleus of our democracy is education. The nucleus of a democracy is education. Yet, as I get older in the business of education, I can now testify and easily say that there are three types of people in education that make this thing complicated. One, are those people who have are in education with a license, and they use the license to have power. Two, The people were in education, but they don't know why they're there. Three, the people who are in education and they have the passion. Now, these three kinds of labels of people, that's where people who wear different hats in education, is part of what creates the politics in education. But then on the other hand, we have parents and citizens, who some citizens do know what's happening in education, some citizens do not know what's happening in education, and some citizens don't care. Putting both these together, it creates an overwhelming politics in education that we begin, that is hard to sort out. What is education all about? Let's take, for example, the young people who, the immigration issue that's coming in. We have youngsters who are coming into the United States, they're learning English as a second language, and we encourage them to finish school. They finish school, and then what? Because they don't have the privilege to go to college unless they're going to pay twice as much. The Dream Act has not been true. The Dream Act has not been approved. California had a group of young people who had scholarship to go to Harvard, Yale, Stanford, and they have to give that away because they were not residents, and they, in order to enter the university, they would have to pay twice as much. How many people know this? How many people know what we're doing? And what we're doing to the young people? They're still young people with a soul, with bones, with blood, and they're still part of us. And they're part of the mechanism that is humanitarian, known as education. Yet we let them down. And I don't think parents know about these consequences. Not only that is a problem in education, we can have a problem in education from another side of the coin. We have a youngster who enters education, goes to the first grade, goes to the second grade, and gets to high school, and when he gets to high school, the youngster doesn't know how to multiply, doesn't know fractions. Are we going to blame the curriculum? Are we going to blame the teachers? Are we going to blame the school board? What are we going to do? Oh, it's only one youngster. Big deal. One life is, I think that's a big deal. I think we as citizens are responsible to foster and monitor that we have education for all. So, putting the pieces together, what was happening in Mexico, that we are still behind in education, we're still behind in developing a democratic country, coming back to the United States, where we have a complex democratic system, one of the richest countries in the world, one of the countries that anybody in the world likes to come to the United States, yet we have not settled our problems in education, which is the bridge for the human being to become literate and become participatory of a community. We cannot honestly say that we have that bridge. I think we need to pay attention as citizens more than just the curriculum, more than just the concept of what takes place in a school or two schools. I think we need to go after it and say, what do we want for education? And how can we get involved when it comes to voting? Exercise that so we can start making steps to have an education system for all.
Okay.
And I think it's very important to pose the question. Yes. Because, you know,
okay. Rafael, you made a mention of the educational system in Mexico and perhaps the difficulty of having a democratic institutions in Mexico because of the quality of their educational system. Could you elaborate there on more on what the educational system is like in Mexico, why it doesn't contribute appropriately to democratic institutions in Mexico, and how it might compare and contrast with the U.S. systems?
Yeah, let's take the Mexican system. Let's take a city of 50,000 population. Okay, in Mexico. In a city of 50,000 population in Mexico, we do not know how many youngsters are going to school. In the United States, 2/3 of that we know is the school age population, according to using the formula in terms of city development. But in Mexico, we don't. Now, this Mexican education system are divided in three areas. They are either funded by the federal government, they're funded by the state, or they're funded locally and by social groups, by the Lions Club, Rotary Club, who develop like here. So we have this city of 50,000 population. We not only don't know how many go to school, we also have a fragmented system, because the system has federal schools, state schools, and private non-profit schools, because it also has private schools. It has, mm-hmm. The church has some schools, and there are private institutions as well. Okay? Now, in the public schools, whether the state or the federal, in order to pass to the next grade, there's a federal test that the students have to pass. So a student can be in the first grade until they're 10 if they don't pass the test. That's what happens. They have to pass the federal test. Now, the education system reform in Mexico has taken a while. Not until 1976 it was obligatory to finish the secondary school. That is, we finish prep, primary school up to the sixth grade, then we have secondary, which is 3 years, and then is prep school, which is another 3 years. That's very different than the United States. In 1980s, there was a big movement, what we call vocational schools. So in cities that had 50,000 population, they were agriculture area, and they wanted to bring industry in, they developed these vocational schools. When young people finish sixth grade, they could go into the vocational school. And once they go to the vocational school, they already were channeled into the job market, where there are industries that are being developed in that area. Okay. This is not compensatory. A youngster can be 12 years and the youngster's in the streets selling gum, newspapers. They don't have a due judicial system for juveniles, that if they don't go to school, they're going to be prosecuted. No. That's one of the biggest problems that we have. In the United States, we do have that. And because we have that, we're able to control the labor market. We youngsters, in order to work before they're 16, they have to get a permit. Because we want to control the labor market, we have universities. We give them grants, scholarships. And we keep that population dorm for 4 years after high school. So this has to do back to the economics. Now, in Mexico, if you look at the literacy, the first up to the sixth grade is a youngster who finished sixth grade, for sure they know how to read. And they will present in terms of taking care of themselves, where they can voice their opinion and they will get involved. So if you can have somebody who has finished fifth grade, is a Chinese Jew in the plaza, and they belong to the syndicate, because almost every job has a syndicate. They know how to get involved in the forum. When we come here to the United States, the youngster finished sixth grade, and we talk about unions, they don't know how to talk about the union. They have to be trained to be talking about union. So this is the, and if we look at the change of the sindicatos were so unions in Mexico, they have been pretty strong. Not until the last 10 years where the sindicatos have changed, because people have passed away and the system has changed. So we live Mexico's social systems are not per se democratic, as where in the United States we have a democratic social system based on freedom enterprise, and we protect the labor market. In Mexico, for example, you graduate from medical school and you can be a doctor anywhere in the country. In the United States, you graduate from medical school, you have to present your license according to the state that you're going to practice. So those are systems that are very important. But comes back in terms of understanding the process of education is to lift our conscience to voting, to understand the constitution of where we live. And that's what I was saying, that in Mexico right now, even though we had people who were going for the PAN and some people going for a PRD, and during the PRD what he was doing, he was a mayor in Mexico City, so he was going after the poor people to go and put in this big stance and protest vote for vote. Well, of course, the people were following him because they already have a capture audience where it has nothing to do with democracy. Democracy has a process. And that's where the Instituto of El Instituto Federal de Votos was the one that was in charge. So that was the institute that was in charge to say, okay, you won or you lost. So education is very important in terms of understanding the systems of where we live. And here in the United States, rather than to make education sometimes a process or a conscience process, we are making education a program process, programming. So you be good, and you continue being good, and we're going to reward you for being good. Not necessarily you're going to do something for your community.
Sure.
Yeah, I was very lucky, Larry, to be in Mexico. I mean, I got my formal education in the United States in Texas. Okay, and so when I was in Texas, I developed my own private practice as a consultant, education consultant, and family therapy consultant. And my interest in education is such that I taught in Guadalajara, in the state of Guadalajara. Okay, I was involved in the state of Jalisco in developing programs for special education. So that's where I was. I also taught in Tamaulipas, in developing programs.
What grades did you teach?
I taught prep school in terms of developing a curriculum and philosophy in prep school in Guadalajara, and I taught university. And I have been involved also in a state-city relationship, state-to-state relationship with the Department of Education in Mexico, and what we call bicultural education. And that's working with the Department of Education in Guadalajara.
What is bicultural education?
What it is a program designed that has just born in the last 20 years, where because of the growth of Mexicans coming into the United States, the Mexican government and the United States government have all this joint effort to have teachers come to the United States during the summer and teach, and then go back and have teachers from the United States go to Mexico and teach and come back, so it becomes a cultural experience. But the important thing that has happened here is that if a youngster comes to school here in the United States and they finish, for example, they go and finish seventh grade, because of the system that is developed, they can be accepted in the second year secondary school in Mexico. If the system did not exist, they go back to primary. So because the system exists, they can take the records from United States and then they will accept them in the grade level. So it's a bridging. It's trying to bring them in. It's by culture, it's by migration. You have more than a billion people coming to the United States, and they spend 2-8 months. They go back, and where are you going to put the children? So in order not to overwhelm the primary schools, and to recruit, so they're developing that kind of programming.
That by camp, the exchange piece, is that occurring between a number of places in Mexico and Texas?
It happens in Florida. There's a non-profit organization that is developed, and is the president for the organization in the United States is located in Texas this year. It could change according to year. The president of the organization in Mexico is located in Jalisco, okay, for this year. Before it was in Mexico City, but the any state that is available to any state, and this is worked out to the department, to the Mexican consulate. In fact, the Mexican consulate now is taking a more social work type of attitude. If you look what the work is being done in Minnesota from the Mexican consulate, they're bringing up books from Mexico, they're bringing in speakers, they're developing programs in the community enriching the Mexican families. So it's a big change, because we have a million Mexicans, and this is they can vote. If they live here, they can vote. Not only that, a year, there's a second product in Mexico. Money that's being, dollars that are being sent home every year. It's very high. Mm-hmm. Because every family sends money home.
What do you think?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I hope this conversation has been informative for you. I hope that it stimulates you an interest that when you hear about Congress talking about immigration laws, and you can take a look at the DREAM Act, which the DREAM Act is what will allow students who are in the United States who are not citizens, they can go to universities here in this country paying citizenship fee, not out of the country fee, which is more expensive for them. I invite you to be ready for our next forum, which will be done in hopefully in LI Drive, and we will make the announcement of the topic.